Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, that is the sound of rock cracking right into the month of September. And guess what? You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Well, we reached the month of September. And guess what? The Labor Day weekend kicked off the real presidential contest. You can't say that it didn't matter because we got two nominees. We got two nominees with the highest negatives ever going to a presidential election since they kept up negatives. But Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are now in basically a dead heat in the polls, what we're seeing. And Trump coming up from a 10-point deficit just 2 or 3 weeks ago. So what's happened? Well, we know that Trump has been staying on message. You go back and listen to last week's show, and you'll understand why. And I told you about some of the people he surrounded himself with. But I do want to say this, as we're in September, we're down to the sprint to the finish. Who has the stamina? It doesn't look like Hillary does. But now, what we're going to talk about today, number one, what we should have gotten to, we just ran out of time in the last few weeks, but the pay-for-play policy of the Clinton Foundation as Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. What do we know about that? The accusations. We're going into that today. We're also on the second half of the show. What a big week for Donald Trump last week with meeting with the President of Mexico and then coming back and outlining in detailed fashion his immigration plan for America. So we're going to talk about that the second half of the show. Before we get to that, let me tell you something that it's just boggles your mind-blowing. It does have some kind of effect on Hillary Clinton. Again, it shows you who she surrounds herself with. But one of the craziest scenarios, if you remember a couple years ago, Anthony Weiner, former congressman, he was a congressman of New York, and he got caught in a sexting scheme or sending out notorious pictures of images, certain parts of his body, images to texting it to women. And he ended up having to resign from Congress. Then it happened again. He ran for mayor of New York. The guy doesn't seem to have shame. He learned from Bill Clinton. He just keep on going. But his wife is Huma Abedin. She is Muslim. She is married to Weiner, who is a Jewish. They come together and have a son. But last week he got caught texting again, but showing a picture of himself. And I don't know, don't look at it, don't even care to look at it, but he was in bed with his 4-year-old son. And then child services in New York are looking into this. Guy has some kind of problem, I believe. Maybe his wife spends all her time with Hillary Clinton, which some people say she does, but Huma Abedin. This is Hillary Clinton's main closest aide. And so what's going on there? Why would Hillary Clinton surround herself with people who would marry Anthony Weiner? It just goes to show you who Hillary Clinton surrounds herself with. But let's get into this today's show, the Pay for Play Clinton Foundation reports. What are people saying? Well, first, listen to this from MSNBC of all things. This happened last week. Take a listen.
Hillary Clinton obviously is not out here on the trail. You're here in Ohio. Do you think she needs to be out front with the American people a little bit more? Oh, she is out front with American people. And
she's been fundraising for a couple weeks.
Well, you know, she has to, but she's also been doing an awful lot of events. And what I told her was I campaigned with her in Scranton. We got a whole bunch of places we're campaigning together and some places where maybe I can help and not have her have to be with me.
Do you think Americans should be concerned at all or about the ethics of the Clinton Foundation? Has the Clinton Foundation always been 100% ethical, in your view?
Look, I think the Clinton Foundation, like all foundations, have found themselves in a position where things are changing, and I think she's going to change and adjust to the realities of how complicated it's all become.
And is she clearing herself up enough with that? Should the foundation have stopped taking donations now?
Well, I think you'll see them stop taking foreign donations.
Thank you very much, sir.
Now, that was Vice President Joe Biden, and he was there taking a question from the press. Have you heard Hillary Clinton take an open question, not someone that's planted? They keep her so controlled. She's not out there amongst reporters. Anybody that could ask her something, they keep her away. She is being controlled. She has a team to control her. And Vice President Biden has to be one saying, well, they're not going to take any more foreign donations. Well, let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Maybe, excuse me for insulting all horses, but let's hear it from Hillary Clinton. If you're not going to take foreign donations, not only should you not take them, give them back. Give them back. Now, what is going on? Well, when you start talking about pay for play, there's all kind of, and you have to tip your hat off to who? I think you got to tip your hat off to Judicial Watch, because they really, if it weren't for them starting years ago, 3-4 years ago, trying to get information, and forgive the pun, it's like pulling teeth. You shouldn't hear that from a dentist, but I'm telling you, the Judicial Watch team has been working hours after hours, starting 2 or 3 years ago, longer, because they knew everything would be held out, stretched out, and thank goodness if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have some emails. We wouldn't be knowing about the server. We wouldn't be knowing about all these things that Hillary Clinton thought she had hidden. And she's lied about them. And she's got caught in lies. And she says, oh, I short-circuited. Short-circuited? You lied to us. Oh, my goodness. That's a Jezebel spirit if there ever was one. Just start calling Hillary Jezebel. Jezebel spirit. Lie after lie. And, you know, why would you call her Jezebel spirit? Well, look what she did with Barack Obama. She was Secretary of State. Barack Obama, he didn't like Gaddafi in Libya, but he wasn't going to march in there and try to overthrow Gaddafi. But Hillary Clinton, with the help of his UN ambassador that he appointed, they convinced Obama to send in the army, the Air Force, and without Congress approval, without going to Congress, they just decided, let's kill Gaddafi. Let's get rid of Gaddafi. You ask, why is that the Jezebel spirit? Well, back, you read in the Old Testament, the Holy Book, the Bible, when it talks about Ahab and Jezebel, a husband and wife, king, queen, but Ahab wanted a vineyard, but he couldn't figure out how to, the guy wouldn't sell it to him. He tried to give him all kind of money, wouldn't sell it to him. So Ahab's wife, Jezebel, said, I'll get that for you, and she did. She had the guy killed. Wow. You just have to wonder what is underneath all the scandals and all this. You don't want to uncover all the leaves because of what you might find underneath. Is there a body under there? I'm just saying, wow. But when it comes to the Clinton Foundation, here, let me just read you some of the things coming out. We just found out the Bill Clinton aides used tax dollars to subsidize the foundation. Politico, I mean, it's a left-leaning publication, but Politico said that Bill Clinton's staff used a decades-old federal government program originally created to keep former presidents out of the poorhouse, to subsidize his family's foundation and an associated business, and to support his wife's private email server. That's what Politico has found. you know, I wish we wouldn't have enough time to go through everything, but that's why I'm giving you the top things that you can remember when we say pay for play. Has anything been proven? No, but man, what Hillary said, well, there's some smoke, but there's no fire. Well, where there's smoke, man, when it's so much smoke, you know there's some fire somewhere. But they dug out just a couple weeks ago, you know, I talked about Huma Abedin and her husband, Anthony Weiner. But then emails that revealed that Hillary Clinton's State Department gave special access to top Clinton Foundation donors. This is exactly what the Clintons, her husband and Hillary both, through the years, they give special access, and because you can't prove it was given just because they gave money, but it happens to be donors. And it says, I mean, this particular story was about the Crown Prince of Bahrain. He was forced to go through the foundation to see Clinton after pledging $32 million to the Clinton Global Initiative. Hollywood executive Casey Wasserman, the slim fast mogul Daniel Abraham, controversial appointee Ravijay Fernando, also among Clinton Foundation donors, were granted special favors from the Clinton State Department. This is from Judicial Watch. It happened, folks. Do you call it pay for play? I mean, it reminds me, listen, remember the old Tina Turner tune about private dancers? Hillary's a private dancer, don't you think? Take a listen to this.
You don't think of them at all. You keep your mind on the money. Keeping your eyes on the wall. And your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do what you want me to do. And your private dancer, a dancer for money. Any old music will do.
And I have to ask, was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton the first Secretary of State who was a private dancer? Pay for play? You give to the Clinton Foundation, we'll make sure you get special privileges from the State Department. Did it happen? Why are we even asking and considering this person to be the next president of the United States? The Democratic Party should just remove her from the ticket. Bring back Bernie Sanders. Get somebody on there that has the decency to tell us the truth, the decency not to pay, not to get money in a foundation and give special privileges as Secretary of State using your taxpayer money, my taxpayer money. It's not right, folks. It's not right. It is not right. She should be in jail for what she did with the security of our country, the emails, for what she did at Benghazi, what she didn't do at Benghazi. And let the people, let Tig and Oz, we talked about in previous shows and played clips from them, she left them there to die. She left them there to die. They got out of Libya by who? Not anybody that the State Department helped them with. They got out by Gaddafi loyalists. Loyalists is the ones that got them out. What irony. And this Secretary of State, when she was Secretary of State, left them to die in Libya. And four brave Americans did die. Why would anybody want her to be president of the United States? Well, I'm going to hit a couple more of these headlines. The Clinton Foundation, the pay for play policy that, you know, is it true? Can we prove it? It stinks to high heaven. There's smoke. Where's the fire? We'll let some people dig into it more. But why would you consider, if the press had this digging into a Republican's administration, wow, what would they be smearing over every front page? And they're playing with little baby gloves with Hillary Clinton. They're saying, well, we got to look just a little, but let's don't look too hard. Let's sort of wait till after the election and she can get pardoned by Obama and then she'll be our president. That is stinking thinking, folks. Stinking thinking. But let's go back. Let me give you a few more of these headlines, and then we're going to get ready for the second half of the show. I told you we're going to have a report from Donald Trump's immigration policy and speech and from Phoenix, Arizona last week, and talk about his meeting with the president of Mexico. So let's sum this up right here. What else is going out there? Well, secret emails reveal how Hillary's closest aide, Huma, was ordered by Clinton Foundation to open State Department doors to donors. And that was from the Daily Mail. There was a report. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, sat on board of a company that bagged $35 million from the Putin-connected Russian government fund. It goes on. It's Clinton Foundation. It's like an octopus with, you know, its hands and everything. Clinton's IRS chickens come home to roost is talking about, now this is from the World Net Daily, the House Republicans received a reply on last week informing them that someone had forwarded the information to the IRS Exempt Organizations Program in Dallas, the division of the IRS that regulates the operations of public foundations and charities. Do you think it'll go anywhere in the IRS? The guy that's head of it was talking about, the Republicans talking about impeaching him, and we've talked on this show how the IRS has disregarded felonies. They haven't even tried to find out who the felon was who broke the law. And some of our friends right here from Rock Splitting Politics had information that was given by someone in the IRS, and they won't even try to figure out who it is, because it was given to 2012 co-chair of the Barack Obama reelection campaign. Stinking to high heaven. That's what's going on. And again, more headlines exclusive. Cryptic New York filing revealed Clinton Foundation foreign donations. And guess what? And the Daily Caller is cryptic New York filing revealed Clinton Foundation foreign donations. That's a rhyme that stinks, folks. Smells, because it's talking about Hillary and her scandals and frauds, the connections, the lies. Wall Street whistleblower analyst exposes Clinton Foundation as a charity fraud. Then the Clinton shell game, talking about how, this is a quote, for the duration of my appointment as secretary, if I am confirmed, I will not participate personally and substantially in any particular matter involving specific parties in which the William J. Clinton Foundation is a party or represents a party. That was a quote from then Secretary of State. Well, she was before committee hearings, before she was made Secretary of State. And that's what she said. Did she keep her word? Does she ever keep her word? But Judicial Watch again. Judge wants explanation from State Department on newly discovered Clinton records. Another Benghazi smoking gun. You know, again, what keeps coming out about emails about Benghazi? And then there's another one. Clinton Foundation running private equity fund in Colombia. Why would they do that? Well, why not? The Clinton Foundation is operating a $20 million private equity firm in Colombia. International connections? Should President Clinton, I hate to even think of that, but President Clinton, would that give somebody in Colombia special connections to President Clinton? Don't let her have the pay for play. I mean, it was horrible enough as Secretary of State, but don't you know all these gifts are pouring into the foundation, hoping and bribing just to have access to the President of the United States? Stinks to high heaven. Do Clinton Foundation tax refilings cover up fraud? Another headline. Shaky foundations, talking about the Clinton Foundation. That was in Harper's Magazine just a few months ago. Hillary Clinton's rogue agenda. Why did Sid Blumenthal matters? Again, going back to the emails. Did she give out classified information? It says emails show how Clinton fundraiser turned lobbyist used connections for clients. Of course they did. Of course. Wow. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's so much smoke you can't tell me. It's just a little smoke not coming from fire. And American people, this is what you need to know. To finish up this part of the show, the first half, this is what you need to know. The American people are the judge and the jury on Hillary Clinton. The FBI won't send her in for indictment. Nobody's going to prosecute her. It's up to the American people if what she and her husband have done, if it stinks to high heaven, you are the judge, you are the jury. You, together, the American people, we the people are. So don't forget that. Now, before we get in the second half of the show, let me remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. You're listening to us on a weekly basis. We get a new show up every week. We got new listeners. Some of you started listening to us when we did our Republican convention wrap-up when I was on the floor as a delegate from Mississippi. But I do want to tell you, for those who have been listening to us for years, we will continue to keep bringing in information, telling you about things that you need to know about this election. So important. This presidential election is not about Trump. It's not about Hillary Clinton. It's about the direction of our nation. Don't forget that. You know, and basically it's two ways. If you won't change, there's only one thing you can do. You have to vote for the Trump-Pence ticket. If you want things to continue in the same sorry, deteriorating state of stagnation, if you want things to continue, you can vote for Hillary Clinton, you can vote for a third-party candidate, or you can stay at home. But we're going to get the stinking stagnation of what we have unless you get out and vote for change with the Trump-Pence ticket. Now, I also want to remind you, Doc Holliday has a book. It's not just mine, but it's also written with co-authors with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. The book is called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. Get that book. Conservatives need it. Liberals need it. You can check it out at Amazon.com, or you can check on the front page of this website right here, WebTalkRadio.net, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Click on the book cover. It'll take you right to where you can order it. We appreciate those who've ordered, and we need to get some more out before the election, so order some more. Now, let's get ready for the second half of the show. Take a listen to this.
This will be a little bit different. This won't be a rally speech, per se. Instead, I'm going to deliver a detailed policy address on one of the greatest challenges facing our country today, illegal immigration. I've just landed, having returned from a very important and special meeting with the President of Mexico, a man I like and respect very much, and a man who truly loves his country, Mexico. And by the way, just like I am a man who loves my country, the United States. We agreed on the importance of ending the illegal flow of drugs, cash, guns, and people across our border, and to put the cartels out of business.
That was Donald Trump. And last week, you can say he hit a qualified political home run on a Wednesday, August 31st, the last day of August. And Trump was gaining in the polls, but what he did last Wednesday, on August 31st, was he put together something that, where did it come from? Well, he got an invitation from the President of Mexico to come down to Mexico. He did that, and as he came out with the President of Mexico, they both stood at podiums. He looked very presidential. He looked like he knew what he's doing. His overpowering image in pictures of the shorter Mexico president made Donald Trump look larger than life. He looked very presidential, and he acted very presidential in recognizing that the Mexican president loves his country and saying that they had a good conversation, and they want to do what's best for Mexico, what's best for the United States, but they know they got to stop the drug trade, got to stop the cartels. And Trump really tied into his immigration policy the reasons why we need a wall on the border. And he went to the crowd there in Phoenix, Arizona. He flew from Mexico back to Phoenix to give this speech that people been waiting for weeks. But he was told he's going to be giving it in Arizona. And then on the same day, flew to Mexico by an invitation from the Mexican president. And Hillary Clinton had to be just pulling her hair out because she was thinking, why is he getting all the press? This is what Trump did. He sucked all the oxygen out of the air of the Hillary Clinton campaign. They couldn't get any press because Donald Trump was the one in action doing something. He was actually campaigning and building the image of being the next president of the United States. And he did a dang good job. But now this is something we talked about in last week's show, I alluded to earlier. Now, Trump is traveling with some of his great friends, like Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. And I mentioned talking to him last week. And you can go back and listen to last week's show to see what we talked about. But also, Rudy Giuliani, these other people who are traveling with him, they're keeping him on message. He's looking very presidential. If he gets too far off the message or something, that they'll step in and tell him, look, Donald, we are here to keep you on message. And it's working, people. Donald Trump is looking more and more presidential, and Democrats, who just 2 weeks ago were asking the question, do we even have to campaign? Do we even have to worry about this guy named Donald Trump? And now there's some Democrats sweating because poll numbers are creeping back up for Donald Trump. And the thing is, this move he did last week, now, as you're listening to the show, new polls will be coming out. I suspect Trump will be doing better because Clinton has been non-existent. You haven't seen her. She's been at fundraisers for 2 weeks. She's been kept in her oven mitt dress. Have you seen those pictures of, looks like she's in an oven mitt? I mean, really? She wants to be our president and she's in an oven mitt? Well, but I mean, where has she been? You know, she's sure not been out in front of reporters, but Donald Trump has, and he's taking questions. And this is one of the things that I, you know, wondered about a month ago what would happen. But I think his team, his new campaign manager, and the people who surround himself with, he's doing what it takes to win. Now, one thing he hasn't done is just start pouring out ads in the swing states. And he's starting to do some. He's also doing things on Facebook. He's raising money. But he's got to start spending some money sometime soon because Hillary is outspending him, some cases 10-1 in swing states. And Donald Trump is keeping it about even now. He's come up about even. So I'm just saying, with what Donald Trump did last week with immigration, and let me tell you a little bit about the immigration speech. Take a listen to this. And this is one point I want Donald Trump to make for himself. And then I got some things I want to finish up the show with. Take a listen to the next president of the United States. Do you believe it? It can happen. Donald Trump.
Good. We will expand the number of Border Patrol stations significantly. I've had a chance to spend time with these incredible law enforcement officers. And I want to take a moment to thank them. What they do is incredible. And getting their endorsement means so much to me. More to me, really, than I can say. It means so much. First time they've ever endorsed a presidential candidate. Number four, blocked funding for sanctuary cities. We blocked the funding. No more funding. We will end the sanctuary cities that have resulted in so many needless deaths. Cities that refuse to cooperate with federal authorities will not receive taxpayer dollars, and we will work with Congress to pass legislation to protect those jurisdictions that do assist federal authorities. Number five, cancel unconstitutional executive orders and enforce all immigration laws.
Now, I wanted to play that because that's right in the heart of Donald Trump's immigration speech. That was 4 and 5, and you heard those. But this is the bottom line. When Donald Trump gave his immigration speech right there in Phoenix, Arizona, just after visiting with the Mexican president, he came out and he's as strong as ever on immigration and making sure that illegal immigrants are deported. And when he said deported, he said first the criminals, those we know are criminals who are in the United States and have committed crimes in the United States. And remember, everybody who has come into the United States illegally is already a criminal because it's against the law to come into the United States illegally. I think Trump was alluding to those who broke the law, who have broken many laws, but those are the ones that need to be deported immediately. He said even starting on the first hour that he is sworn in as president of the United States, the deportations of those involved in crime will be done quickly. Now what this is what did he soften up? Like Marco Rubio's position almost. He said until the wall is built and the criminal illegal aliens are out, until we get our hands on what's going on and get control of the borders, then we can start talking about what do you do with 10 million illegal immigrants. How do you... And he said there would be no legalization, no amnesty. So... But that's a strong policy. He spoke it out, and I believe conservatives everywhere are rallying around a strong president who wants to help American jobs. He wants to help American citizens who want jobs, and this is one way he's going to do it. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and next week we'll dig into more. Every week things are happening, and I can't wait to tell you some things we're working on for next week's show. So don't forget Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.